I think we're good, which means I should be able to bring up the awesome video for our sponsors today, Manny, and it should work like this. Let's try it out. Yay! Thank you guys from growgeneration.com for sponsoring today's episode of LR Mornings. Make sure to check them out in the description link below. Thank you, Grow Generation. It is Monday morning. You guys can tell I'm starting to play around with some of the tech I've been promising we would play around with. It's not perfect on the recording side of things. Still trying to learn a little bit about it, but it's fun, and I'm excited to play with this shit. So, Manny, what's up, bud?
Nothing much, man. Just got done with WrestleMania 37 this weekend.
I saw a whole weekend. And how was that? Did you enjoy it?
It's always enjoyable. There's always highs and lows. Unfortunately, I don't know, these last few years, I don't blame them necessarily for the last few years just because of the fact that they have been having to do kind of shows without audiences and things like that. Mm-hmm. It really mutes the show. This year they actually did have fans. It was in Florida, of course. So Florida, nothing exists out there. So they had fans. So it was great. It's the first show that they did with fans, mm-hmm. and that was nice to see. You got to see some of the younger talent take a bigger step into the light. And then some of the same old again. And it's a little bit of everything, and it's a good time. And we got to see it with friends yesterday, and then we got to see Saturday's night over a really nice dinner. So overall, a good time. Bad Bunny had a really good showing. Of course, he's a he's a Latin rapper that mm-hmm. he's been on since Royal Rumble, and he actually had a good match, man. Just a solid time. Your boy Logan Paul was on, and he
I don't even. I didn't even know he was a former YouTuber until his fight. Like, that's how ignorant I am on social media. But
no, you're not missing much. You're not missing it much.
I know. When I went back to look at what he had done, it was like, yeah, I'm glad I used to only watch music videos and cat videos on YouTube.
So, just a good time. And so I'm just curious as going forward, if they're going to keep the motto of no fans for now, or if they're going to start actually allowing people in, and if they're going to stay still at wherever they are right now, currently filming. I forgot where it was. They've had to change a couple of times just because of the fact that sports are starting up. So they need their arenas back. Mm-hmm. So, and then next year, if they're going to still keep it a 2-day event, or if they're going to go back to that mega show that we're all used to for so many years, that'll be WrestleMania 38, which is supposed to be taking place in Southern California, which means one of us may be headed out there.
Possibly. Or someone that already hangs out that way, maybe. I used to watch a lot of wrestling back in the older days, and I'm still fucking with my camera because I can't leave well enough alone. And I remember it being such a big deal growing up. Hell, I used to go watch like little Saturday night matches at the Tacoma Dome outside of Fort Lewis when my dad was stationed there and I was little. I met Ultimate Warrior at like a USO thing there at Lewis, and I've met the Undertaker a couple times because he's got that ranch outside in Nashville, mm-hmm. and so whenever they used to be in Nashville for a SmackDown, Raw, whatever, he would always be like the guy at the box office doing like photo op on ticket day. back in the days when we had to buy our tickets in person for big events like that. But I've been lucky. Besides those old shows, I have seen it. I've been to a Raw. I've been to a SmackDown. And I think it was the 05 Judgment Day in Nashville where Taker beat Hogan for the championship. I was at that, and that was pretty cool too. So how do you like the cinematic filming for some of the matches like they did last year and they've done on a couple of the other pay-per-views?
That was something I was really curious with, because last year they had a Firefly Playhouse match with the Fiend, Bray Wyatt, and John Cena, and it was cinematic. And then, so I was very curious as to this year what they were going to do with the Fiend and then Randy Orton, because now that you have fans, so when you have fans, you can't really do cinematic matches, because you're just going to be showing thousands and thousands of people a match on screen.
not what you want.
So they didn't do cinematic matches this year. But boy, that match between AJ Styles, the Phenomenal One, and The Undertaker last year for their match that was cinematic. Mm-hmm. It was done so well. Obviously set to a Metallica track, and then you kind of have him riding off in the sunset on his bike. It was kind of an homage to all of his characters that he had done throughout the years. And it was done really well. And I don't mind seeing more of those. It's just maybe you have to spread those out through the year and mm-hmm. not necessarily on a pay-per-view. You'll have to do that as a Peacock exclusive, where check out this cinematic match. Or that. I think there's room for it, because obviously each of the characters allow for, all kinds of supernatural or whatnot to make it more interesting, to make it different. Who was it? I think it was Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt had a decent one half a year ago, I think. Was that SummerSlam? I don't remember when it was. There's definitely room for them, and I think they should do them a little bit more. But I think what everyone's ready for, including the wrestlers, is to have those cheering fans, to have that pop when the music hits, and or the crowd chanting different things, because not the same performing to a live audience than a room full of screens.
That was like, I remember hearing them talk about early on that how difficult it was to before they started like pumping in fan video and noise and stuff like that, how difficult it was to act, do the promos and do the story part, and even in the matches they were like, it just doesn't we're not able to get that energy from the fans that we need. And what's funny is, I will never ever call it fake, because anyone that does is an asshole and doesn't know jack shit about sports entertainment. But even traditional athletes feed off of their crowds. There's home field advantage is a term for a purpose, for a reason. And I'm glad that they're getting to do things. And that was going to be my next question, was, did you pay-per-view it or Peacock it?
And you don't have to pay-per-view
it. You don't have to pay-per-view anymore. That's pretty – I was just surprised when I saw how quickly they announced a WWE Network and everything Peacock. Like, damn. do you like that, the fact that – that it's all, well, is it as in depth on Peacock as it is on the back catalog as it was when it was its own app, WWE?
Yeah, nothing changed. The WWE app wasn't very good anyway.
No, it wasn't a good app, but I liked how back, like, far I could get the WCW and stuff.
Yeah, no, they had, I was on there on Saturday night just browsing a little bit. They had all of the WrestleManias on there. I mean, just awesome. 36 years.
Yeah.
And, the best WrestleMania ever, if anybody wants to check it out, just start to finish, WrestleMania X7.
That is by far,
hands down, and by many people, it's argued that it is the best WrestleMania.
That was Rock and Hogan, right?
No, that's Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay.
That was like 23, maybe I was thinking of.
Rock and Hogan was the following year.
I knew it was close in that, like, late whatever.
But man, that from start to finish, that show is just spectacular.
Yeah,
Kurt Angle versus I can't even remember right now. There's a moment in during a hardcore match for the hardcore title between Kane, Raven, and the Big Show, where it's a little known fact that Raven was trying to drive a golf cart in the back, and he was about 2 inches away from running over the electrical cables that would have shut down the power to the entire place.
Jeez.
And so it's funny. It didn't happen, of course.
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's funny to think that something like that. But I mean, every big star you could think of is on that show. And I mean, from old school guys, William Regal, Chris Jericho, Edge. I mean, just it has TLC 2, which is a fantastic match. Which, if you don't know what TLC is tables, ladders, and chairs between the Dudleys, Edge and Christian, and the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
So I mean, the cool thing about Peacock too is that a lot of people have been quote unquote forced to get it because it's where they can get their
sports stuff.
That too, news? And Office and Parks and Rec.
Oh.
Which for a lot of people, not being able to watch The Office on Netflix has caused them anger issues as far as like, why not? But it's all on Peacock now. It's all NBC Universal. So, I have it, and because you could also watch all of the, I think it's all of the Champions League stuff. Mm-hmm. So, that's Paramount Plus. Peacock is going to be Premier League.
Okay, so, I don't know. It's all too long, too green, and too low scoring for me.
But I'll
say that my biggest thing is just the time thing, because I'm military minded, which is if you're on time, you're already 15 minutes late, and if you're 10 minutes early, you're 5 minutes late. So when I see a bunch of guys get together, or girls, I know there's some female refs out there now, officials now, and they're all like, I think we should add a minute 12. No, it's a minute 14. Look, God damn it, Bob. I'm tired of your minute 14 shit. It is a minute 21, and that's what we're rolling. I can't. Anyway, that's cool, man. You know what's not as cool for some people? Movies moving dates still.
Oh.
I had no way to segue to one of the bigger news stories from what some of the people may have missed this weekend, and that was the push of Maverick, Top Gun Maverick, from this summer to this fall, and then Mission Impossible being pushed from the fall to next year, Mission Impossible 7. And there's a couple ways to look at it. One, like you said, Florida open, they had fans. Texas fairly open. We talked last week, man, big opening day for the Rangers in baseball. And we've got theaters opening up, and studios are basically like, okay, cool, we can move some things around and get some more money as more people are vaccinated and all that. But then you've also got some countries that might not have the vaccination rates that we do, and some of them are shutting down again. Some of them nationwide in Europe, and some of them just like locally, like in Canada. I don't remember if it was the entire province, Ontario, is there, or just the actual like city of Ontario, but they shut down. Some guy in charge named Ford shut stuff down. What do you think is going on, at least with these two movies? Do you think it's more the former, like hey, America's opening up. China's massively open already. That's what I'm thinking.
Those are the two markets that really matter, yeah. Unfortunately, because if China, if United States was all open and China wasn't open, you'd still have, I think you'd still see movies being pushed back right now. It's mm-hmm. like that international market is such a big deal mm-hmm. because you wonder sometimes, these movies, some of these movies suck. Yeah. Why are you making them?
Because the international market.
International market is a driving force. That's why Tom Cruise is still such a huge star. Because they love him in the international markets. So, I mean, I don't have a problem with it because, I mean, hey, everyone's going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And if the studio needs to move a movie because they feel like it's going to do better, then all, you know, then that's up to them. It's a business move. And if they believe it's smart, that's fine. We'll get it when we get it. And, you know, we just have to deal with it. It's yeah. nothing that really bothers me because at the end of the day, I hope they make money so they can make more movies. And but I think Kong and Godzilla being as successful as they were, their first opening weekend was kind of a test run, and I think a lot of people are happy with it. But I think Warner Brothers actually had the best model for releasing movies right now. And I know that other studios didn't want to do it, but doing that, the release between home and theater, I think is working really well, at least for this year, just because of the fact that number one, they want to get their product out. Number two, a lot of people are already going to make that choice whether to go or not. So why not try to double dip, get some subscribers for a couple of months, and at the same time, get some movie tickets? Because what Godzilla and Kong proved is that if I want to go see it in the theater, I'm going to go see it in the theater.
Yeah.
When we're available. I mean, even here we have, I think, a couple of theaters open, but we still chose to go watch it at the drive-in.
Right.
The people who are going to want to, or just in general, the people who want to go to the theater are going to do so. And so if you feel now that a movie's going to do better, then, you know, you move it up. And, or if you feel, you know what, we want a bigger theater showing, then you move it back. And, you know, it's just what it is. I mean, Black Widow is going to be on Disney Premiere and in theaters, which is a great move. The only reason I feel like it's okay for them to charge more is because everybody already has Disney Plus. You're already watching Falcon and Winter Soldier and stuff. Yeah. So why am I going to give you free stuff when you already have it? HBO Max, on the other hand, needs a couple more subscribers every now and then. And not to say that Disney doesn't want more subscribers, but, you know, their HBO is not necessarily at the point where Disney is, I think. So overall, not a problem, man. Just, as we're everyone's trying to figure it out as we're opening back up, so I don't blame sports, any kind of entertainment, for kind of shuffling around for these next couple of months.
Makes sense. Bam, look at that. I'm still playing with stuff.
I can see that.
But no, you're absolutely right on like the way you're putting it. I want to see my movies too, and I've already stated I won't be going to barring things closing down again. I'm not going to be seeing any more movies at home until I've seen them at the theater, if you will, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what is working for me. It's not for everybody, that's fine. And the one thing people have got to understand is this is still a business. Right. Money still needs to be made in order for us to even get more. And we've been talking at this site for at least as long as I've been here about how even before the pandemic, movie theaters outside of the big blockbusters were struggling. You know, if there wasn't a Marvel or Star Wars or DC film in the theaters, you saw like nothing. Like it was always empty. Like, yeah, sure, people are going to see their rom-coms and whatnot, but overall, it was all about that that comic book movie, that Star Wars thing, mm-hmm. and people were just fed up with cost, fed up with other people. We've become so, even before the pandemic, and I told my wife, I was like, I really worry about people, because we were already becoming very anti-social as far as like in person social, that you already had movies come out 4 months after hitting theaters now. How long do you remember waiting for Jurassic Park? Like a year from theater to your VHS deck. Oh, yeah. It was like a year, man. It was nuts. And I just the only bad thing about Warner Brothers model is the money. They don't make as much money, which on releasing it just at HBO Max with just the subscription cost. But at the same time, when Disney charges, people freaked out about it. And I'm like, guys, you know, you want another Endgame, either go buy a shit ton of merchandise to make up for the lack of ticket sales, or go see it in the theaters, or at least buy a ticket and then watch it at home. You got, something's got to happen for the actors, actresses, the grips, the photography directors, your regular directors, producers, PA, all they got to have something to make, and in order to have something to make, got to have money, and that's my biggest fear, is that we might end up with a I don't want to call it a brain drain, because it's not really a brain drain, but you know what I'm saying, like a similar situation. We're gonna have like this drought of quality entertainment, as there's like this attempt to redesign how we are entertained. I don't know. What do you think? Am I too far out there?
No, I think you're right, and it's something that I had talked with Jammer about before, and that's that the pandemic really just sped things up. Mm-hmm. As far as where we were going with streaming services, with Amazon services, with curbside services,
yeah,
everything in general, I think that's where we were headed anyway, but it was slower, obviously, because it wasn't a necessity, it was a luxury. Then because of the fact that we were all supposed to separate for safety reasons and whatnot, then it became a necessity, and we had to change on a dime. And for some, that, you know, it was easier than others. And then for others, it was like, you know, especially like introverts, it was like, finally, you know, my time has come. And so you didn't even have to go to Target anymore. You just use your Circle app and you pick things up. You want to pick up food? Just pick it up. All the movies, they're going to be on different streaming services.
I'm good. I'm still here.
So
it's all right.
So, you know, just it's just a different, we're evolving into something else. We're getting closer and closer to WALL-E, and it's not something I'm excited for, but the cool thing is that everyone has the opportunity to choose to do what they want. For example,
right now.
Yes. For example, despite the fact that a lot of places aren't necessarily open 100%, my girlfriend and I were still able to get a good meal yesterday sitting inside a restaurant in a booth.
Yeah.
And we were so excited to do that. And then we were talking about how we were excited to plan one of these weekends where we got to see multiple films at the theater.
Oh, wow. And I haven't done that in so long.
Oh, well. Well, the thing is, she's always been a Regal Club member.
Yeah.
So she plans a day where it's like a film, lunch, and then another film.
Wow.
and is cool. able to enjoy a lot of like those indie films sometimes that you don't get to see in theaters very much. Like you were saying, the ones that don't make that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, if you have the opportunity and you have the means to enjoy a film in theaters, I think that's the way you're supposed to enjoy them. That's the way they're,
yeah.
they're made to be enjoyed. Except for like Cloverfield, like that shit gave me a headache.
I liked it.
No, it was like it was fun, but Jesus, yeah. man, it was just like, you know,
on that big of a screen.
Yeah. Anywho, but yeah, it's we're just, you know, it's gonna be different times, and I think the real tell will be not this year, but next year, because I mean, California is supposedly going to be completely open June 15th if the number of vaccines stay the same as far as like growth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the target date that has been set. If it's changed, somebody want to let us know, that's fine, but that's the last thing I heard on the radio. Things in here change almost every day.
Yeah.
So Disneyland's open again, Six Flags is open, Universal is open. So in the summer, I don't see a lot changing this year, but 2022 will be a tell to see how we're doing and yeah. where we're gonna be headed permanently, because you know, there's no going back.
Mm.
You know, it's just a different world we're gonna live in.
Yeah.
So
some people are happy that their kids are going to be able to attend virtual school in middle school, you know, and it still be part of the public school system, because that's what's best for their family. And that's like a good idea. And without getting into any of the politics of it, I do fear a lot of this asynchronous learning stuff seeping into regular school. I'm not a teacher. I sort of was in the army, but it's a lot different teaching somebody, either, you know, my construction, teaching an adult electrical wiring or construction, or tactical movement, you know, how to, you know, move on an objective in an urban environment or whatever, and teaching my 7-year-old with special needs and having the same patience and stuff. Those are some of the things that I worry about most as far as like effects on society and things. Some of the teachers in the elementary schools have used asynchronous as what it's designed, which was light on the work for the kids, so that way they're getting a break from always being at the screen and stuff like that, and a chance for the teachers to catch up on grades, put up new videos, record, pre-record shit that they needed to do, get rooms clean. That's what it was designed for. Some teachers are doing that. Other teachers are legitimately planning a 5-day planner like normal with full assignments on the asynchronous day, and they're like, okay, mom and dad, I don't give two fucks if you're at home or not. I don't feel like, you know, changing my shit up. You're the teacher for the day. That and snow days going away forever, like, that's a scary thought, man. Like, you're a parent too, who, man, we love our kids. But I, like, somebody's like, cut your heart out with a spoon, or your child's done. Here, take it. You know, but I still want some time away from the little punk. You know,
you know, it's something that I think most of us already had a certain appreciation for teachers.
Yes, absolutely.
But I think this last year has raise the bar as far as appreciating what a teacher does for us as parents and for the child. I honestly, if a teacher didn't necessarily want to change we were in a situation where us as parents once again were giving the responsibility of our kids, which ultimately they are our responsibility.
Yeah.
But we do have jobs, and we do have things that we need to get accomplished during the day that, you know, you don't even plan for. But then again, none of this was planned for. Everything is on the last minute and trying to put it together. I give a lot of credit to a lot of leadership in different school districts that had to, you know, sit in a room for just weeks and weeks and try to figure out how to make it work, for at least, you know, duct tape it all together for a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not taking away.
I'm just,
my dad's a teacher, my sister's a teacher, so
my girlfriend's a teacher. So all I'm saying is that, you know, for it'll go back to normal, and we're in, you know, we'll appreciate it a little bit more. Although I will say, I do not miss dropping off my daughter crowded school every morning, because everyone obviously shows up at the same time to drop off their kids. And that was something that was nice to not have to do that. I'm back to doing that, of course, but it's a little different because every the protocols, they have every grade a different gate and
different times. And
So, you know, it's easier right now, but yeah, I want my daughter in class, because it's not just because of the fact that I want her in school, because I need a break.
No, it's the socialization, the growing, the learning to individuate from your parents, and discovering who your daughter is. That's why we used to do it in small villages. We don't have those anymore. So we do it through the school systems. And don't get me wrong, my biggest complaint about the asynchronous thing is the lack of consistency. If that wasn't clear, that's why I try to say it was like, some do this, others do that. And it's like pick one, because this really isn't my job. But if it's going to be, then it needs to be all the time, and not some. That's my biggest gripe with is consistency with like everything with me. But
But yeah, just like studios, man, right now,
it's hard.
You just get a pass right now.
Yeah. Know? Well, that's the thing, is it's almost like, and I'm not bragging or trying to be pretentious, my kid's smart, he's ahead academically, but he suffers socially, and I've literally looked at it and been like, this assignment is not worth the fight, we're not doing it, and I don't care. He already knows it. You know, it was like me in school. I had a teacher, Kyle, why didn't you do your homework? And it's like, I'm not going to call her out, but it was like, Miss 10th grade English teacher, why do you make homework weigh so much? And I was like, I ace all your tests. I get an A on every paper that I write, you know, every report that I write. And I just don't feel like doing these stupid worksheets. I don't feel like doing these itty bitty paper. Like, no, why? Well, the other kids aren't as great at, not my fault.
I had a similar geometry, man. The homework didn't weigh as much as the test did, as much as some of the other.
So the opposite.
So I figured out that even if I didn't do homework, I was going to, if I did well on the test, I was gonna get a B minus.
Yep.
And I was like,
you and I, the exact
same. I'm completely happy with that. And my teacher was like, there's no guarantee that you're gonna get an A on the test. And I was like,
watch me.
I was like, not only am I gonna get, I'm gonna get the extra credit done too. Just to show you. And then he was very upset when I did ace it. But in upset and like, cause he, or like happy, of course, that I knew the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I think he changed his rubric after that. Next year, because I was like, I don't have to do this. I can just do the test. But once you figure out formulas and you know what you're doing,
yes,
there's different numbers, you know.
Yes,
but I do understand though what they say about that. It's like there's some kids that really do need a lot.
I know. Like I said, my dad, high school history, wrote his own class. He created the first military history course at the high school level in the state of Tennessee.
Nice.
And got it approved in his district, and another teacher in another district not, I'm, I use steal jokingly, stole my dad's class for his own school, with, you know, my dad's permission, all that. And so my dad's own program could be spread across the state, which is pretty cool. So yeah. And with people that do, and this is way out of entertainment, but just because it's fucking LR mornings. One of the best things about having a teacher in your family or close circle of friends is getting to understand a lot of frustrations aren't at the teacher level. That's admin stuff, and your teachers probably feel the exact same as you. They just can't say anything about it. Blue Sky Studios, guys, the makers of Ice Age, of course, it was under 20th Century Fox, shut down by Disney and folded into 20th Century Animation. Before we get to them, though, let's hear from Christine about Grow Generation.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation is your one-stop shop for hydroponic grow supplies, product systems, and more. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
There we go. Thank you so much, guys, for sponsoring the video. Manny, there's this, it happens whenever buyouts, you know, you consolidate, you now are going to have redundancy, because rarely does a company buy another company that's completely out of its wheelhouse, right? So here you have Disney with its own animation studios buying another studio with an animation studios. But because there is that redundancy, there's going to be a whole crap ton of animators, producers, and systems integration people. Like, all those jobs are gone out the window, and this isn't the first group from the buyout to suffer. What do you think about this situation, and should there have been an attempt from the FCC to be like, no, you guys already have these animation studios, we don't want to see these ones disappear, like they did with the sports thing, like you guys would have too many sports if you also got Fox Sports with the deal. What do you think, man?
No, I mean, it's not up to the government to decide what runs and what doesn't.
Good answer.
If Fox couldn't support an animation studio, then they weren't going to do it on their own anyway.
Yeah.
So why is it Disney's problem?
You know? Look at the properties. I mean, Ice Age. Now name another.
There's a couple, actually.
There is. Rio Robots.
But, I mean, they made one movie.
Right, so, like, that's what I'm getting at.
While they were all good, the only one really that you could think of that was fairly successful was Ice Age.
Yep.
Even though, as much as you bring robots up, people usually smile and they, you know, have a, because they had a good time with it. Because, I mean, when Robin Williams was voicing one of the robots, so obviously it's going to be fun. But it's not Disney's fault that Fox couldn't do it on their own, because if they were able to do it on their own, then they would have never had to sold, you know,
exactly.
They
would have
been fine. But you saw that they were never able to be quite successful with X-Men the way they wanted to. Their sports brand was pretty good. Actually, I thought they were decent. Not as good as ESPN, of course, but, and then their animation was always, I wouldn't say necessarily second class, but it wasn't up to par with some of the other studios like DreamWorks or with Disney Animation. So, you know, it is what it is. And there's no reason why, especially if they weren't doing as well as your own animation studio, that you should keep it. You know, just, and, sorry, guys, just it's just the way it works.
It is. It is. I love the way you brought that up.
Strongly about it, then make your own studio and start doing your own films.
Go get a bad idea.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
It's always some people get so emotionally wrapped up into the human aspect of stories like this. And yeah, mm-hmm. definitely empathize, sympathize, feel for, help support, help start a studio and thing, you know, support these guys, hire them. If you're at 20th Century Animation, try to figure out a way to make space, in the budget for an extra production agent, or DreamWorks pick them up and things like that. The cool thing about modern world, for example, what we're doing right now, what the Russo brothers with their Agbo or Argbo, whatever production company, doing the their film festival competition this week. They're going to release a prompt. You're going to have 48 hours to write a film, edit and submit a movie that is between 30 seconds and 3 minutes, with no more than 15 seconds of credits. All of this stuff enables and animation programs at home, open source engine, like source engine and the source filmmaker is a great way for a young aspiring CGI wannabe filmmaker to get in and make CGI movie. Yeah, sure, mostly with existing Valve models from Team Fortress or Half-Life or whatnot, but still, that's free, and you get to mess with it, and then you could take that and throw it on YouTube and make a name for yourself. And while it's always fun to play the devil's advocate, post questions to you like I did, your answer's the 100% right one. Does it suck sometimes? God, yeah.
Absolutely.
But is it over? Only if you let it be, or when the meteor comes smashing into, please, the mid-Atlantic seaboard.
And the thing is, there's always opportunity out there, and it's not going to be easy. I think one of the biggest things I hear from filmmakers is especially during interviews, and you can catch them if you catch my interviews on LRM, when I ask them about some of their biggest challenges or what their biggest takeaway is just how much time they have to put into it, how many nights that they work 20 hours a day, because they can only film for 10 days or they have a deadline, they're, you know, because their budgets are so small. And I think it's a similar thing with that films with animation. I mean, yeah, that's where you need to start. You need to, if you're an aspiring animator, do it on YouTube. But there's, you know, when something folds up, there's opportunity. How many streaming services are always looking for original content? How many strange animations have become so popular? You have apps you can work with, you have video games, you have so much that's still out there. It is just a matter of applying yourself. But those are the people that are successful, people that are able to get up early and stay up late and you really grind a little bit, because it's not going to fall in your lap. Some of these animators probably did end up getting picked up by Fox. But yeah, true. There's going to be a lot who are going to be looking for jobs, but it's not their fault. But at the same time, it's also not anybody else's fault. It's just the way the world works sometimes. And yeah, you're right. The human element of it sucks, but you know, that's just, it's like, just things happen, unfortunately.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And there's my buddy Toby used to play in this band called the Mervs, and shout out to Toby, Ryan and CJ for the cool music they made. But they got this song called The Dash, and this lyric, when the window closes, smash through the glass. And I've always really liked that idea. it's a playoff of, you know, when someone closes a door, look for a window, or, you know, those types of sayings. And sometimes it's a little bit more drastic like that. And I like that imagery of, you know, smashing through the glass to get at what it is that you're after. And is it always going to work out? No.
Right.
It's not. I mean, look at how many thousands of kids right now with dreams of NHL, MLB, MLS, or Premier League, or whatever, NBA, NASCAR. They're never going to make it because there's thousands of them. And there's only 30 some odd slots on most teams' active rosters. Not every league has a dozen minor affiliates and things like that. So your chances of playing pro sports are slimmer, but still, if you're willing to plug away at it, if you're willing to move, this isn't the only country where baseball's popular. You know, if you might not be MLB quality, but you might be good enough to go play in a European league, an Asian league, a Canadian league, you know. So
opportunities are out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And even, I mean, it all, the thing I think that's great about what you're saying is that, yeah, there's only so many slots in all these different sports categories and whatnot, but the opportunity's there.
Yeah.
There is not a solid no. Yeah, until, like, well, if I tried to play, you know, now at my age, but you have the opportunity. You can do it. There's no one stopping you, and there's different ways to go around it, but it's how much do you want to put into it?
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll work out, but usually nobody ever says that they, you know, they made it into football, and it's like, yeah, you know, they tell you about all the hard work that they had to do, all of the camps, all of the training, eating habit, everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen, man. It's just so much work, but the opportunity's there.
Yeah, that's cool. It's good way to look at it. Try to keep that positive outlook, like looking at the movies moving. Let's look at that as a positive. Theaters are opening. They're looking to make money, and it's because they've got faith that, oh my God, look, all these people that turned out for Godzilla. As things get even better, it was definitely a little bit of a, these moves, I think, are more breaths of relief of,
right.
Yes, people will come back, and because they will come back, let's make some space.
Yeah, so. That's also why Mortal Kombat got pushed back a week. They wanted Kongzilla to have their space.
Yep,
and it's fine with it.
And as for those properties from Blue Sky, what do you think's gonna happen with the IPs? I don't see Disney leaving all of them on the floor, especially Ice Age. Do you think? I told Christine I think it would be like that. Like, everyone knows 20th Century Animation is still Disney, but I think if you went to see a new Ice Age and Walt Disney Animation showed up before, I think people would be mad. I don't know. What do you think will happen with those properties? Is Disney going to bring them to their name, or they keep them at 20th Century?
No, they'll keep them. I think they'll keep them at 20th Century. There's no reason to bring them. And honestly, if there was something to be done with them, I think 20th Century would have done it, because they had the time for it. But obviously they just didn't work out as well.
Well, they had the time, but they don't have any good idea people.
I know, but it's not, I mean, I can say that, but like you said, they have the best minds all over there. But I think with everything they got going on, all the properties, they're probably going to stick them at Hulu and just be done with it. I don't even think they make it to Disney Plus, man.
No, probably not. So, I'll put them on Hulu. Yeah.
I think Ice Age has been kind of squeezed out as much as it's going to be.
I was wondering if they'll end up like rebooting it. That was like my thought was like one, if they make just a sequel or keep what's there, keep it 20th.
The only thing I can see them doing is making shorts with maybe Scrat.
Maybe.
Because those were always funny. But overall, I just don't see the value of bringing them back. There's not, I don't see anyone clamoring for any of these things to come back. That's why Robots didn't have a sequel. And just, I don't know. Were they fun movies? Yeah. But there's not much extra there to it.
I can see that. World
for robots. And
yeah.
Ice Age, I think, was, you know, like I said, squeezed as much as they were going to get from it. Unless you're going to bring them to modern day world, which
God. We're back at Dinosaur Story.
Yeah. So
start thinking about the horrible 90s animation movies. Thanks to that Disney boom started by the Little Mermaid right around the turn of the decade. And remember, what was it? The troll or goblin with the green thumb or whatever in Central Park, and the Thousand Land Before Times, and
yeah. Hey, don't rag on the Land Before Times. We leave little shit alone.
I like my dinosaurs eating people, just like they did when they existed at the same time in real life. No, I'm joking.
Nothing wrong with Littlefoot eating grass. He's a long neck anyway.
Oh man. Well, guys, that's gonna do it for us today. Hopefully this overlay and everything thing turns out all right, and I'm able to sync any odd audio. If for some reason there's nothing but still frame pictures today, you guys know I failed miserably. Thanks to our sponsors, Grow Generation. Make sure you guys are checking out the website, lrmonline.com, every day for all your entertainment news needs and opinions. Subscribe to the YouTube channel where you're most likely watching this, and if you're just listening to it on your Spotify or SoundCloud, Apple, Google podcast app, please hit that follow button, subscribe, share this with some friends and family, and and Manny, where can people find you at online if they can't see the screen?
If you can't see the screen, you can find me on Twitter at @LRM_Emmanuel. And on Instagram at @RiddleMeThis_510.
And you guys can find me at @ThatKyleMalone on Twitter, at @1KyleMalone on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for listening. Many thanks for being on again, as usual. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.